following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
As we have concluded our journey on the pathway to discipleship, we embark on another journey. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're going to be one who follows in his footsteps, then evangelism must be a part of your everyday life. Every day that Jesus got up in the 3 years of his earthly ministry, he was in the process of finding someone who didn't know God, who had never experienced a relationship with God. Jesus said this one thing. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And he set the model for us. He set the standard for us in the area of evangelism. You might say, "Well, Brother Tracy, I'm not called to be an evangelist." Yeah, you are. You might not technically have the spiritual gift of evangelism. It's listed separately as its own spiritual gift. But each and every person that has trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior has been commissioned to go out and share their faith in some way, shape, or form. There are many different evangelism methods that we could choose. There are many different ways that you can share your faith. Your testimony is one great way that you can do it. But what I want to teach you in the next few weeks is how to take maybe just a simple sheet of paper, a napkin, whatever it is you can draw on and whatever it is you can draw with, and with three little circles, show someone that God loves them, has a plan for their life, how sin has separated them from the God that loves them, how they can get back to that purpose and plan for their life and be restored and fulfilling God's design for their life. And so let me ask you this question today. Are you fulfilling right now your purpose for this life? And if not, why not? Do you know someone who at this time is not fulfilling their plan and their purpose that God has for them? Maybe they don't know about God's design for them. So that's going to be the first step in our three circles that we're going to talk about today. On the front pews here and up front, we have a guide that you can use. It'll take you step by step if you want to take it and just walk a person through that. If you want to take one of these and learn how to use it yourself. Or you can go to the app store and you can download Life on Mission. There's an app on a slide that we've been showing. You'll see it after the service. But over the next few weeks, I'm going to show you how to take and draw three little circles and share your faith. And today we're going to talk all about what God's design is for our life. And so that's where you start off at. You ask that person, what is God's design for your life? I know this is going to be hard to see from the audience, but it starts off with just one simple circle. What is God's design for mankind? What is God's design for this creation of his? What is God's design and what is his plan and purpose for my life as an individual? So Jesus taught us many valuable lessons when he was here on this earth. He gave us a lot of really great principles for which to live by. Everything Jesus did and said is important, and we should make it our goal to imitate him as best as possible and become familiar with his teachings. However, if last words are important, they're certainly important when it comes to Jesus' final instructions when he left this world. Matthew records his last words in Matthew chapter 28, and we refer to it as the Great Commission. He says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to obey all things which I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world." And the book of Acts opened up. Jesus said, "You will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world." So I'm going to give you some statistics before we get started. Right here in our town of Morgan City, Louisiana, about a 6 mile square radius, there are approximately 11,000 people. That's of the year 2020. That's about 1,900 people per square mile. The average median age here in this area is 43 years old. There are 4,486 households averaging 2.5 people per square mile. So just think about what we have to cover, what is set before us, how many people we could impact if each one of us would take the Great Commission seriously. If you want to stretch that out a little bit more here in what we consider the Metroplex from Amelia to Patterson, 20 square miles, there are over 29,000 people here in this area. 1,498 people per square mile. And you might be sitting here saying, Brother Tracy, it's your job to go out and tell others the good news. Well, if you want to think about it like that, if I were to do at least 30 people per day for one whole year, I could do that. If I could present the gospel to 30 people every day, 365 days in a year, I'd be able to reach that. But that is just impossible for me to do. So I need your help. You have been commissioned as a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ to go out and to share your faith. And my challenge to you in the next few weeks is going to be this. Find at least one person that you know that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. Write that person's name on the backside of your outline. If you've got a bulletin in the outline inside of it, you see a picture with three circles with arrows connecting them. I want you to take that person's name and write it down on that sheet of paper. And in the first circle over on the left-hand side, top left-hand side, you just write down God's design. And we're going to start right there. We're going to teach you how to draw these three circles and how to share your faith. So if all believers are called to be faithful gospel witnesses to the places we live, the places we work, and the places we play, we can't leave it to the professionals. We can't leave it to the ordained ministers to go out and be responsible for sharing the gospel. There just aren't enough of us here in this town to do it effectively. So in a town of 11,000 people, how is one person going to reach 11,000 people? 30,000 people in the Metroplex area, how are 10 pastors going to reach 30,000 people? We need every person in the game doing their part, responsibly sharing the gospel in the best way that they possibly can. We need all believers possible, reaching as many people as possible. And here's the thing. You might say, well, Brother Tracy, I've never been trained in evangelism. I don't know enough scripture. Let me tell you what the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says. It says that the religious people saw the disciples going out and preaching and sharing the people. They said, how can these untrained and uneducated men be doing what they're doing? It's all because the Spirit of the living God had empowered them. And that's what he's done for you as well. Here's something to remember. Charles Spurgeon had this to say. And I think that in order for you to be motivated to sharing your faith, you need to understand the value of one lost soul. Jesus told several parables about the lost sheep, how the shepherd would go after them, the lost coin, the lost son. Charles Spurgeon had this to say. He said, consider how precious a soul must be when both God and the devil are after it. Right now, you know someone. Satan's after them. And he's probably got a good grip on their life. They don't understand what God's design is for their life. And that's only because someone hasn't taken the time to sit down and share with them that God has a plan and a purpose for their life and that God loves them. So open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 10. And I started off with this passage for a very specific reason, because in it contains some scriptures that you need to memorize, you need to learn, and you need to be familiar with as you are sharing your faith. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. And I love these first two words. Man, you just can't. When life's got you down, when you think all is lost and there is no hope but God, But God steps in and he takes control of the situation. Fred Luter said that that is a sanctified conjunction right there. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 is the key right here, and I think that in the town that we live in, I see a lot of legalism, a lot of people that are living with a works-based salvation. Verse 8 says that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. That word workmanship right there is very important. We're going to get into that in just a moment. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you fill this place with your power and your presence. Lord, don't let us leave this building unchanged this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you would pierce our hearts with how important it is for us to find someone who's living without hope, someone who's living in fear, someone who's living in bondage, someone maybe who's living in addiction, Lord God, and just share the hope of Jesus with them. I pray that your words would come alive, Lord God, that they would leap off the pages and into our hearts. I pray, Lord God, that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I pray that more than anything, Lord God, that we would take this tool, these three circles, and we would share with someone. We would practice with our spouse, with our kids, with our coworkers. Lord, I pray that we would just allow you to speak through us. This world needs Jesus. People need to know that Jesus saves. And we need to be willing, Lord God, and obedient to allow ourselves, Lord God, to be used by you to share the good news of the gospel every opportunity we get. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to me during this time, Lord God, that you'll clear my mind and you'll prepare my heart, and that we would see you, Lord God, in a way that we've never seen you before, and we just ask it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. So we have the news people need to hear about God making a way for them to be right with him. We also have a conversational, relational way to tell them about it. It all starts right here with God's design. What is God's design for mankind? What is God's design for me? What is his plan? What is his purpose? And am I living according to God's design? The first thing that we need to understand is that our very existence is proof of God's love. Our very existence, us being here, us enjoying this creation, this breath that fills up your lungs, this blood that is flowing through your body, through the heart that is beating, that you have no control over. Your very existence here on this earth is proof that God loves you. And you being here today in this congregation, or maybe you're tuning in through Facebook Live, you've tuned in at just the right time, that is proof that God loves you, because he has a message that you need to hear. He has brought you here for a reason. And now that good news that you have heard, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it is now your responsibility to go out and share that good news with someone else. God loves you, and he has a plan, and he has a purpose for your life. God designed the world and everything in it. Look, don't buy into this garbage about this theory of evolution. Look, I didn't crawl out of no slimy pit and neither did you. We haven't been developed over time into what we are today. You are a masterpiece. You are intricately designed. And even before you came out of your mother's womb, God had a plan for your life. That is God's design for you, is that he has put you here on this planet for a specific reason. We have been created by God Almighty. The human body is the most complex thing in all of creation. You are a masterpiece that was lovingly, thoughtfully, and carefully created. The scriptures say that God scooped up the dust of the earth and he breathed the breath of life into it. Man became a created being. He became a living being. And in the Greek word, that word there, God breathed, is the Greek word theopneustos. The same thing that he did with the Bible. The scriptures say that the Bible is God breathed. He breathed the breath of life into it. And so when God created everything as it was meant to be, he proclaimed that it was good. However, for human beings, he has placed mankind as the crown jewel of all of his creation. So God's design for you isn't an accident. It isn't a mistake. God thought long and hard about you before you were ever created. And he created you with a love and a passion of a heavenly Father. The next thing that we need to see is that every aspect of our lives is proof that he has a plan. God has a plan for every aspect of our life. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. We'll see how God created all things and how he created us. And some of these designs that he has for every aspect of our life. The first thing that we see is that God has a design for our gender. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." God created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. And here's what this world is wanting to tell you these days. There's one source that says that there are 72 genders, not just two. And that list is just as long as my arm is. There's agender, there's ambigender, there's bigender, there's blurred gender, there's cisgender, there's gender flow, gender fluid, omnigender, just to name a few. And there's a Greek word for all that. It's called hogwash. Because right here in the scriptures, it says he created them male and female. That's how we were designed. Look, how many of you right here have a birth certificate somewhere? Let's see a show of hands. And what does it say on that birth certificate? It says either male or female. When a woman goes in to have an ultrasound of the baby she's carrying in the womb, and the doctor's looking for one thing and one thing only to say whether it's a boy or a girl, and it's a dead giveaway, there's no doubt about it. When he sees that, he knows right away, man, that's a boy right there. There's no doubt about it, and that's the way God has created. That is his design for us. Here's what our government says about gender, and I quote, "Gender identity is a complex spectrum that can be defined in many ways. Gender is about how a person identifies themselves, not their anatomy or sex." Baloney, because right here in the Word of God, it says that he created them male and female. Don't get that confused. That is God's design for mankind, and that is the only way that it works. God has a design for our families as well. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 says, "Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Here's how I know that we're living in a fallen world. We are getting away from God's design of gender, and we're getting away from God's design of the family. And all of that is caused by one thing and one thing only, and it is sin. Sin is taking us further and further and further away from God's design for mankind. Every aspect of our lives is proof that God has a plan. But what we're seeing happening in our culture today is all the result of living in a fallen world, and is all the result of sin. And for you to explain the plan of salvation to someone, you need to let them know that you are getting further and further away from God's plan for your life because of sin in your life. God has a plan and a design for gender. He has a plan and a design for our families. He also has a plan and a design for our marriages. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. The scripture says this, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Jesus used this very passage in Matthew chapter 19, verse 46. He says, a husband will leave his mother and father and will cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. God also has a plan and a design for our work life. He says right here that you're to have dominion over the earth. God created all things in 6 days. And what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. For 6 days he worked creating the earth, the bird, the sky, the heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the fishes, everything that we see, and us included. In those 6 days, as he worked to create, as he designed everything that we see around us, but the Bible clearly says that he set a pattern that for working for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he did what? He rested. Back where I used to work at, seventh day Sunday was a big deal. If you worked for 6 days and then you worked on that seventh day, they were tempting you to work that seventh day by getting double time on Sunday. That's not God's design. We're getting further and further away from that. How many of you remember when it was difficult to find anything at all open on Sundays? How many of you here? I remember that. I'm young enough to remember that. I'm with you. Man, you'd just drive for miles. You wouldn't see a grocery store or gas station open. Now it's hard to find one that's not open. That is not God's design. We're getting further and further away from that. That's all the results of living in a fallen world that is infected with sin. Now everything is open. As a matter of fact, most restaurants, Sunday is their busiest day of the week. Also, here's a little side note. Many restaurant workers will say that Sunday is when they have their rudest customers. I hope that's not you. God help us. But we see God's design. We see proof that he has a plan for us through everything that takes place in our life. Our rest life, Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3, it says that he rested on the seventh day. Surveys reveal that over the last century, the amount of sleep people get has declined noticeably. I'm in that survey. I don't get the rest that I need. I don't get enough sleep at night. I know that. But they did a survey in the 1960s. People reported an average night's sleep of 8.5 hours in my dreams. Yeah. If I had medication, I could probably do that. How many of you get more than 8 hours of sleep a night? Okay. Some of you do. Not very many. There you have it. It's proof right there. We're getting further and further away from God's plan for the rest that we need. That was in the 1960s. Now that number has reduced overall to 6.8 hours average per night for weekdays and 7.4 hours on the weekends. But we're getting further and further and further away from God's design for everything in our life, for our gender, for our marriage, for our rest, for our work. And it's all because of sin. And when you start introducing someone into the gospel, you need to let them know, hey, here's God's plan for your life. Here's what he designed you to do. Here's what, most of all, he created you to have fellowship with him. And that's one of the things that we see in the creation account, is that God created a special place for Adam and Eve. He said, this is where I'm going to commune with you, and this is where I'm going to fellowship with you. And when they committed the first sin, when we see the fall of mankind, one of the first things that happens is God does what he did every single day. He went walking through the garden looking for Adam and Eve, and they had gotten away from that design that God had created because they knew they had sinned. They were embarrassed. They were ashamed of it, and they hid from the Lord. They got away from God's design to have fellowship with them. But the good news is that God has made a way for us to have that fellowship restored, and it's all through his Son, Jesus Christ. Point number three, God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ reveals our ultimate purpose. He created us to have unbroken fellowship and communion with him. If you're still in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, this is after the fall of mankind. This is after they were tempted by Satan. This is after they knew that they sinned. And here's what happened. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Their communion with the Lord had been broken because of sin. Everything that God did to create them, everything that he put together, everything that he put in place, and that fellowship that he wanted to have with them was broken because of sin. And if you know someone that is apart from God's plan, if you know someone that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, these are some of the very first steps that you need to bring them through. Find out what they're doing in their life. Ask them if they really think that that's what God has planned for their life. Ask them that they even know, does God really have a plan for your life? Are they even aware that God has a plan for their life? And if all of those answers are no, you say, and that's because of sin in your life. And then you begin telling them what sin is, what it does, and the impact that it has on their life. Let them know that God created them because he loves them, because he has a plan for their life, and because he wants to have fellowship with them each and every day of their life. And the only way to have unbroken communion, the only way to have that fellowship restored is through the gospel. And as we work these three circles, as we bring it all back around, that's part of it. The gospel brings you back around to God's design for your life. If you still have your finger in the book of Ephesians, where we started off at, I want to get to that interesting word in verse 10. God's purpose for your life. It says that by grace you've been saved through faith. That's God's purpose for your life. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone boast. For we are his workmanship. Think about that for just a moment. If you've ever built anything, if you've never ever knit anything together, if you've ever put a puzzle together, you know that it takes some thought, it takes some preparation, it takes some planning, it takes a little bit of work. Yeah, like that. You are God's workmanship. You're not an accident. You were created the way that you were created for a purpose. Long hair, no hair, gray hair, dark hair, tall, short, skinny, whatever the case may be, God has put you together not by accident. He put a lot of thought into the way that you were designed. That word workmanship in the Greek actually is the word poema, where we get the word poem from. If someone was to write out a poem, it wouldn't just be a bunch of words that fell in place by accident. It were words that were well thought out. It were words that have meaning to them. It were words that were designed for a purpose. So that's the design for your life. That's the design that God has for your life. You are his workmanship. You are his masterpiece. But sadly, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that sin brings about something in our life. It brings about brokenness. And we'll get into that next week. Are you broken right now? Are you here today and you just don't know where to go? Are you here today and you just have absolutely no idea at all what God's plan and His purpose is for your life? Or maybe you're here today and you do know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You know that God has put you here for a reason. You are living your life to the best of your ability to please the Lord. It is now your job to go out and find someone that has no hope. They're experiencing brokenness in their life. Do you realize the value of one soul? Do you realize the value of one lost soul? And how important it is to God, and how important it is, and how important it should be to us. Each and every day, literally thousands of people are slipping off into eternity, never experiencing God's love, never experiencing God's plan for their life. Or maybe you are here today. Maybe you have tasted the goodness of God. Maybe you have experienced His mercy and His grace. And maybe somehow or another you've drifted away from that fellowship and that communion that you once had. Part of the reason that most Christians aren't sharing their faith is because their fellowship and their communion with the Lord has separated just like this. Part of the reason many marriages are on shaky grounds today is because they are getting further and further away from the Lord. I've shared this with you before. I've shared it this past week. There's something called the marriage triangle. You put God up at the top of it. Down one side, you have the husband. Down the other side, you have the wife. The further they get away from the Lord, the further they get away from each other. However, the closer that they get to the Lord, the closer they get to each other. That's God's design for our marriages. That's God's design for our families. That's God's design for our church as well. And that's also God's design for our community. When is the last time you shared the good news of the gospel with some lost soul? When is the last time you looked someone in the eye and you've told them you see that there is no hope in their life? You see the brokenness in their life and that you know how that can be restored? I would challenge you today. Begin praying for that person. Begin moving in the direction of preparing yourself. Whether it's drawing three circles, whether it's sharing your testimony. But it all starts right here, and it all starts right now. If we want to see a change in our community, if we want to see a change in this world, if we want others to know that Jesus saves, it's not about just coming to church once a week, hearing a message, reading your Bible. It's about going out each and every day. There's a sign on the door as you're leaving. It says you are now entering the mission field. Each and every one of us here today have been commissioned. I would say by the looks of it, there's about 50 people in this auditorium right now. Just think of how this community would look if 50 people every day would go out and share their faith with one person. We would turn this place upside down. And that's exactly what the church in the first century did. It said they went out, they shared their faith, they lived in communion with each other, they loved each other, and they turned their world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I hope you'll get one of these booklets today. I hope that maybe you'll download the app. I hope that you'll begin praying for someone. I hope that by now you've already written down a name on the back of your outline and you're beginning to pray for that person. And you're looking for that opportunity to share your faith. And over the next few weeks, that's what I want to do, is I want to just break this down one by one, each step of the way until you're familiar with it. And put some tools in your toolbox where you can go out and engage in a gospel-centered conversation with someone that you know has never experienced salvation. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As we enter into this time of invitation, this is a time for you to respond to what you've heard. Perhaps this is the first time you've heard a gospel message. Perhaps this is the first time you've heard that God loves you and has a plan for your life. Perhaps you've never stepped out in faith and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If I were you, I would be the first one down that aisle when the music begins. Don't let another day go by without knowing for sure where you'll spend eternity. The Bible says there's either one of two places that we'll spend eternity. A place called heaven for those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Or a place called hell for those who have rejected God's offer of salvation. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. And you can walk out of this building today knowing for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that heaven is your home. The bottom line is that God loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for your sins. God's design for your life is to have fellowship and communion with him. But because of sin, that fellowship has been ruined. And each and every one of us here, we're born with a sin nature. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there are none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says that there is a penalty that comes along with that sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. You don't have to live with sin in your life. Jesus died to pay the penalty of your sin. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is God's design for all of mankind. Say, Brother Tracy, how do I receive that gift of salvation? It's as easy as calling out the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved from the penalty of your sins. And then this morning, if you're willing to step out in faith and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it all begins with saying a prayer just like this. Just say quietly in your heart, in your mind, you just say, God, I know I've sinned. I know I'm not living according to your design for my life. And I know I don't have the fellowship that you created me for with you. And I want that in my life, Lord. So God, I ask that you forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place. And it's through his death and through his death only that I can be restored to new life with you. You just ask God to come in and make you a new person and give you a new life. And he'll do that today. Perhaps you're here today and you do know that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. And you've never shared your faith before, but you want to. Come talk to me and I would love to help you. I'd love to give you some more instructions. I'd love to give you one of these booklets. Maybe you've got a name already on the back of your outline. You're ready to pray for that person. When the music begins, these altars are open for that very thing. Begin now. Maybe with someone you know that's here, a prayer partner, and pray for that person, that God would begin preparing their hearts to receive the good news of the gospel. Whatever the case may be, if there's something you need to confess before the Lord, if your walk is not right, you need to get it right. This invitation is open for anyone and everyone whom the Lord is speaking to right now. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today thanking you so much for your love for us. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have a design and a plan and a purpose for our lives. And God, to the best of our ability as a church, we want to make sure that we are fulfilling that plan, that we are being obedient to the Great Commission, Lord, to go out and share the gospel as often as possible. And Lord, I just pray that during this time of invitation, that hearts would become sensitive to you, that they would be obedient, they would respond. You would give these people, Lord God, the boldness to step up and to step out and to follow you wherever you lead them. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.